I would like to begin by expressing my sincerest condolences to the one brother and sisters of Sister Maria Mechthild that were able to be present for the funeral today. And I would greatly appreciate it if you could pass on my condolences to your siblings that were not able to come. My condolences also to the relatives, to my sisters in Christ, the sisters of the Congregation of Mary Immaculate Queen, who are mourning the loss of one of their own. Also, my condolences to all of you who were her close friends, her acquaintances, and we have members present today who belong to St. Mary's Parish in Tacoma, who belong to Mary Immaculate Parish in Omaha, and they remember her very well and cherish the memories of the years they knew her when she was stationed in those places, and there were others as well. And I assure you of my prayers for you at this time. I do have a couple of announcements that need to be made. After we conclude the obsequies here in church, we will be going to our cemetery, which is located here on the grounds. And for those that are able, you are welcome to walk with us. We'll be praying Decades of the Rosary as we go down to the cemetery. But if you have any need to go in a car, feel free to do so. You can certainly drive down there and park at the cemetery. Following that, we will return to the main building, and we have some refreshments for everyone available after the gravesite services have concluded. For the Fatima Conference participants, as you know, we had scheduled a day of recollection today, and obviously that will be shortened today because of the funeral that is taking place. But we will let you know at the when the refreshments are being served, when the day of recollection will begin, and then we'll just get back onto the schedule that had already been planned. My dear brethren, in the day of recollection that we have during the Fatima Conference each year, we reflect upon the four steps, as St. Louis Marie de Montfort calls it, in preparing to consecrate oneself to Jesus through Mary. The first step, as he calls it, is renouncement of the spirit of the world. The second step is knowledge of self. Third step, knowledge of Mary. And then, as we know, Mary leads us to Jesus, so the fourth step, knowledge of Jesus Christ. And at today's funeral, we are being instructed very much in the renouncement of the spirit of the world. We are reminded by the finality of death that we are not meant to live for this world. We are to live in this world, but not for it, not to be of it. And as St. Louis and all the saints point out so well, we cannot love and serve Christ if we have a worldly heart, if we have a heart that's taken up with worldly goals and ideals. Those cannot exist, coexist. And so even though we live in the world and live in and be part of society, we are not of the spirit of the world. I'm reminded of a story from, I believe, the life of St. Philip Neri, and I am sketchy on the details, but he converted a young man to a very fervent Catholic life by just asking him two words, or three words, and then what? It seems that this young man was very talented and had lots of worldly goals and ideals. And he's talking to St. Philip one day, and he says, "And I'm going to graduate from college with a degree in such a field." And kindly and wisely, the St. Philip says, "And then what?" "Well, I shall embark upon a very successful career." "And then what?" "Well, I'll get married and raise a family." "And then what?" "Well, I shall acquire great wealth through my career. I'll acquire a lot of prestige. I'll be loved and esteemed by many people." "Well, and then what?" "Well, I suppose I shall retire one day after, you know, achieving all my goals for this life." "And then what?" "Well, I shall grow old." "And then what?" "I shall die one day." "And then what?" And the young man couldn't say anything else. I believe it made such an impression on him, the final "and then what," that he gave himself to God in the religious life, and he just focused entirely on the final "and then what." And so that is the question, of course, that we always reflect upon in someone's passing. And we apply that question to ourselves when we reach that final day when our blessed Lord will call us from this life. We have to ask now that question, "And then what?" Will we be in the spiritual condition that the good Lord comes? When he comes knocking, will we have oil in our lamps? Will we be like one of the wise virgins who was prepared? Or will we be one of the foolish ones that was not prepared? Our beloved departed Sister Maria Mechthild was given that special call to the highest of vocations, the religious state. And that's one of the things that inspires us so much as we reflect upon her passing today, that she was able to orient herself to God as the religious life imposes and guides and leads the soul to focus on what matters the most in life, to do the will of God, to grow in holiness. It's not a guarantee. We don't canonize anybody who enters the religious life. It's only those that keep persevering and are faithful to their calling. These are the ones that live up to the ideals of their holy vocation. And so we know that when we think about Sister's life, most of us knew her only as a nun, and we knew her as striving to do the will of God in her daily life. Sister Maria Mechthild wasn't feeling well the evening of Friday, September 30th. And yet she forced herself to go to the community schedule, and I believe it called for some recreation that evening. And then she went to night prayers after that. I'm reminded of another story. One day at recreation, St. Aloysius was asked by his fellow Jesuits, and they knew that he was truly a holy youth. They asked him, "What would you do if you knew that in 15 minutes you were going to die?" And his answer was, "I would keep on recreating." Why? Because that's God's will for me. It's on the schedule. And I want to be where God wants me to be when He calls me. Of course, he would have been offering up some fervent prayers as he continued to play checkers or whatever it was, getting ready for one's being called. But he knew with complete certitude that he was where God wanted him to be. And sister must have started to feel more and more sick and ill, but she pushed herself. She went to recreation. We'll only know in eternity how hard it was for her to go to night prayers that evening. What a sacrifice that was. But it was her last act of love. As hard as it is, I want to do this for Jesus. And she was before the Blessed Sacrament. And then after night prayers, after she had prayed Compline, I believe, in which we repeat the words of the psalmist and the last word of our Lord on the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. She said those words. She prayed those words. And minutes later, it was fulfilled. What an inspiration. What a beautiful way to prepare for one's most important moment of life. And yes, that is the most important moment of our lives. Everything in our life, from birth to the day of death, is a preparation for entrance into eternity. And even the longest life on earth is nothing in compared to eternity. As Father Clement Kubisch, whom she knew from Nebraska many years ago, the staunch traditional Catholic priest, would say in sermons, he said, eternity is not just a long time. Eternity is forever. A wonderful thing upon which we do need to reflect. And yes, this will help us to be detached from the spirit of the world. Yes, we should live our goals, work hard, but most of all, our mission, our duty, our greatest goal is to become the saints that God wants us to be. Because on that depends the rest of our eternity. These other things are secondary and need to be remembered as such. As I said, sister was living the religious life. She edified us time and time again. Even though she had her aches and pains, she was humble and obedient, submitting so often to superiors who were younger than she was, following the schedule. There was no doubt in our mind that she tried to live the will of God. And isn't that how we become saints, my dear brethren? What was one of her favorite sayings? Man proposes, God disposes. Whenever change of plans came up, frustrations, contradictions, frustrated dreams and goals, you can just hear sister saying, man proposes, God disposes. A reminder to us that we need to live what we say in the Our Father, thy will be done. What a blessing she had in religious life that she didn't have to work hard to try to figure out what that will of God was. As a religious, she knew. And just following the schedule, living her religious ideals as best she could, that is truly knowing and doing the will of God. I was also inspired by the fact that it was on a Friday evening that she died. And we're reminded of that second glorious promise of Our Lady when she gave the brown scapular. The first one is, whoever dies devoutly wearing the scapular will not suffer the fires of hell. Notice the key word, devoutly. Our Lady will do what's necessary to help that person to be in the state of grace. But remember her second promise, and this is for those who observe chastity according to one state in life and who also either abstain from meat on Wednesdays and Saturdays or pray the little office of Our Lady daily or pray the daily rosary, that Our Lady not only promised preservation from the fires of hell, she also said, I will take you out of purgatory the first Saturday after your death. This was just hours, a couple of hours before. Perhaps she had prayed for that. Blessed Mother, whenever it's God's will, take me on a Friday evening. I see nothing wrong with that prayer. I think it would be a very good prayer. We know that purgatory is the same fire that is in hell. It just doesn't last forever, and we don't know how long it lasts. We don't know how strict God's justice is, how long a time one may be in purgatory. So what a beautiful prayer. Take me on a Friday evening, whenever it is thy will. I am personally blessed to have gotten to know Sister Maria Mechthild very well during the 6 years that I was at St. Mary's Parish in Tacoma. And I had the privilege often to be invited for dinner with the good sisters. And I learned from Sister Maria Mechthild's wisdom, her insights. I learned how observant women are. I learned that better in the times I was able to join them for dinner. They were very gracious in sharing that with me. And I can truly say it was a blessing and a privilege to have been there at St. Mary's with her there. It was God's grace working in her. And it wasn't easy for her. It was a real dying to self that she strove to do. But she knew what the most important thing was in her life. It was the will of God. And she strove to do that. That's just an inspiration. She touched many, many people's lives. Those that are present today are a witness to that fact. People would go to her to hear her say, that's just the way it is. She had that beautiful blend of strictness and kindness. Strictness insofar as knowing that the right thing is the right thing, and you do it. Even though it's hard, you do it. But she would also tell you, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be helping you. And it didn't matter if it was the oldest member of the parish or the youngest members that she would teach in kindergarten. That's the way it is. And we need to hear that. And every one of those people that was told that's the way it is, or that's the way it needs to be, or God proposes, or man disposes, man proposes, but God disposes, she knew, all these people knew how much she loved them and was praying for them and would do anything to help them. She would spend time letting people unburden themselves and just encourage them in the crosses that they had to bear. You know, one parishioner told me, I think this is an interesting way to think of it, she would manage the bookstore, and of course on Sundays, it being the only day that most people could come to church, we had it open, and people would come down there and not only get their religious items, but the chance to talk to Sister Maria Mechthild. One of the parishioners said, you know, Sister's holding court every morning down in her bookstore. After going to Holy Mass and hearing the word of the Lord upstairs, they got all of it reinforced in whatever way they needed as she helped them with the religious items they were going to get. But there was always a spring in people's step when they left from that bookstore because Sister was helping them a little better to do the will of God in their lives. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Help one another to be better, inspire one another, help one another to do the difficult things that have to be done, but also love one another. Isn't that what Christ said? Love one another. And he didn't stop there and just say, love one another. He said, as I have loved you. That's an impossible standard. How can we love infinitely? But Jesus tells us we're to strive for that anyway. He gave us the highest possible ideal. And to love one another isn't always just to say perhaps what we want to hear, but what we need to hear. What is truly right and good. Sometimes it is very difficult, but that's where prayer comes in. And Sister certainly taught us that by word and deed. Pray for the grace that you need. I want to also address a couple of words to Sister's siblings that are here. Yesterday was the first time that I met you, but I can say I already knew you. Sisters had shared stories about her growing up years, and I knew her before she became a nun, and but also, you know, understood more about, you know, her life as a religious sister. And I learned how she got her solid values from your parents. Your virtuous father and mother who understood what had to be done and did it. Your mother was admirable for all those years that she suffered Parkinson's disease. And I remember marveling at the suffering that she went through. As Sister would recount it from her Parkinson's disease, but just bearing that cross. Being the mother of 16 children, Sister Maria Mechthild being the oldest one. I was told how hard life was on a farm. How you had to really, really scrimp and save, use everything as much as it possibly could be used. She said when we'd butcher a pig, we'd use everything, we'd make use of everything except for the squeal. You know, you couldn't afford, when you're living in a poor way, to waste anything. And I was thinking, you know, what a great lesson. Those values of hard work and dedication. But there was that Catholic faith that was instilled early on. And it was helped by the fact that, of course, and this is probably the only time I've heard of it, where basically the whole village or the district where she grew up, where you grew up, they were all Catholic. Almost everyone in the town. And so there was a sense of religious community there, you might see, that helped reinforce everyone's faith. When Corpus Christi procession happened, the whole town was involved. It's something that most of us have never or perhaps will never experience, being in such surroundings. So, my dear brethren, we will lay her to rest today. We will honor her remains. As you can see, they will be incensed and blessed with holy water. We honor the body that was the temple of the Holy Ghost. And let us continue to pray and offer up our sacrifices, our assistance at Holy Mass, our communions for her. Yes, we have great reason to believe that Our Lady took her already to heaven the first Saturday after her death. But again, we don't know everything. And even though somebody may not need our prayers and suffrages in purgatory, remember, it won't be wasted. It will go to another soul in purgatory that could use it to hasten his or her deliverance. The more we help the holy souls, the more speedily we shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let us be merciful to the holy souls. We have it in our power to hasten the time of their deliverance. Let us thank God today, even though we have our tears of mourning. Let us thank God for the graces that He gave through Holy Mary, our mother's intercession, many graces that were given to her, and she cooperated with those graces. Let us be thankful for her inspiring example, and let us try to become the saints, the saint that God wants of us, to reach whatever level that is. May we be ready and waiting, so whether the Lord comes calling, we can say, I am ready, Lord, and I am thine. I live for thee, I love thee, and I serve thee. Take me to an eternity with thee and Holy Mother Mary and all the saints and angels. May we be reunited in heaven. Eternal rest grant unto her, O Lord, and the perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and all of the souls of the faithful departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.